Mulder Was Right is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Mulder was right. Hey, I got a joke for you guys. So, it's back during the election. And this is kind of like, now we're past the election, so the future's kind of ruined. But pretend that Trump and Hillary tied in the election. It's a perfect tie. So what did they do to break the tie? They have to do a race around the White House. They have to literally run around the White House. And so, okay. So Donald Trump, he runs around the White House. He does his lap. It takes him about 15, 14 to get around the White House.
That's, yeah, I mean, it's pretty slow, but he's, you know, like a 70-year-old man, so It makes sense.
Minutes or seconds here?
That's like minutes, seconds. So 15 minutes, 14 seconds.
Okay.
And then Hillary does hers, and she does it in like 12, 11, right? And so she goes up to Obama, and she's like, "That's pretty good, right?" And Obama says, "Not really. Bush did 9/11.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh my God.
You're listening to Mulder Was Right, your weekly dose of conspiracies and alternative facts. As you guys can tell, we are a comedy-based podcast, and that joke was bad. I'm your host, Brendan, and I'm joined by my co-hosts.
Curtis.
That was really bad. No, I'm done.
And he's Joe.
And I'm Joe.
We're joined by our guest once again, Andrew.
I don't want to be on here after that joke, honestly. Let's just leave me out of this.
All right, so...
We won the internet. We can't, like... Nothing we do will be as funny as that.
Show's over, guys. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
That was
week.
A good 38 episodes.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
So we're joined by Andrew from the Monday American.
Hi.
He's thrilled to be here after that. None of us knew that
I
was coming.
Actually, I have thoroughly enjoyed this month with you guys recording. It's been a blast.
It has been quite
fun. We have also enjoyed having you on the show. It's been
really great
having you.
Stop it. You're going to make me blush. It's so sweet.
You're so beautiful and you blush.
Aw.
Curtis, you're such a smooth talker.
You can find Andrew on the MondayAmerican.com. He does a bunch of history-based stuff. It's really awesome. He's doing a series on the American Revolution. I listened to the first two parts. It's really awesome. Highly recommend.
I appreciate it.
Of course.
It's a lot of research.
We are also in the middle of a four-parted series. This is called 9/11 Part 4. Did you know Dick Cheney? Or do you know they're making a Dick Cheney movie?
You would if you listened to episode 2.
Yeah, you would, but today we're going to talk a little bit more about Dick Cheney.
Is Christian Bale still playing him?
Why would it change?
That, I forgot about that until now. Oh my God.
They recasted him, yes.
You know.
I need a minute to process that, truly.
You know, I'm not going to give you a minute here. I was going to save this to the end of the episode, but I did a little bit more research into the Dick Cheney movie. First of all, it's called Backseat. We don't know when it's coming out.
They really missed their opportunity to just the big dick.
The big
that's
dick.
What it should have been called.
You know, that's very funny because...
Because dicks are also referred to penises.
Because...
And big penises are sought after.
By you?
By many.
But...
Okay. All right.
Not only that, the guy who's directing it... director Adam McKay.
Does he have
now,
a big
I know
penis?
For a fact none of you know who that is.
Why do you know that for a fact?
I mean
my brother.
I mean, you could know him, but like I'm like 95%
well,
sure you don't.
I know him.
Did you just make him
I
up?
Have no
is
idea
that why?
You're
because we talked about this earlier.
Joe and I talked about this earlier.
Don't lump me in with the rest of them.
So Adam McKay is known for Saturday Night Live. He directed Anchorman. He directed Talladega Nights and
what
Step
the
Brothers.
Hell is going on? Are you serious?
And most important,
he's doing a movie on Dick Cheney.
It's a serious biopic. He also directed The Big Short,
which is funny.
Big Dick, Big Short.
Love it.
The Big Short was actually super good. Highly recommend. Like, it's still funny. There are, assorted parts in that are funny, but it's still like a really awesome, well put together movie. So if you haven't seen The Big Short, go see it. It's awesome.
Who else is in the Dick Cheney?
How much did they pay you to say that?
They didn't pay me anything. That was
they should have. That was a great ad.
We will sell out to the Dick Cheney movie, though.
We will sell out to Backseat.
At least he didn't direct The Big Sick.
So Adam McKay is known for being partners with the one, the only Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell is actually producing the movie with him, as well as Brad Pitt.
What?
Among others.
Brad Pitt and Will Ferrell present Dick Cheney.
This is not real life, and I'm gonna kill myself. Not happening.
So let me tell you who's in the movie besides Christian Bale. Up pictures of Christian Bale right now. He's really fat. It's really funny.
Are you serious?
But I mean,
he's crazy. He's a method actor.
I mean, yeah, he's known to like gain a bunch of weight and then lose a bunch of weight really quickly. It's really funny. But also starring in the movie, we have Amy Adams as
I love her. I freaking love her.
Dick Cheney's wife. Steve Carell is starring as Donald Rumsfeld, the 13th and 20th.
Rumsfeld. Did you say Steve Carell?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's starring as Donald Rumsfeld, the 13th and 21st United States Secretary of Defense. And unfortunately, we're not getting him as the president of the United States, but Bill Pullman is playing Nelson Rockefeller, who was the 41st vice president of the United States. And Sam Rockwell is playing George W. Bush.
What is our country doing? What's happening?
I want to say I looked up Christian Bale, Dick Cheney, and holy crap.
Some filter on? Because I didn't see anything.
Yeah, you have the Dick Cheney safe search turned on.
Whoa.
Yeah, he got fat. Anyway.
That happened to me once.
So production late this month. So like a couple days ago. But it's a real movie. It's really going to come out. So that's a thing.
Do you know when they plan to release it?
They don't
it,
have
or,
a release date
you know,
yet.
Is it too early?
They don't have
still?
A release date. Yeah. Sort of related, unrelated to this movie, but, still related to movies. The 9/11 movie that just came out. I don't remember the exact title. I think it's just 9/11. That's what it's called. Charlie Sheen, Luis Guzman, and Whoopi Goldberg. It got shit reviews.
Oh my God.
I do believe the movie was called Charlie Sheen's 9/11.
Charlie Sheen's 9/11. Yeah, it got terrible reviews. So if anyone thought it was going to be good.
I told you that.
If anyone thought it was going to be good, you're wrong. Also, why do you think it was good?
Yeah, you're an idiot if you thought that was going to be good. Like, straight up, you have zero intelligence.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Charlie Sheen.
And Luis Guzman.
I don't know who that is, but the other two, come on.
If you look up a picture, you know exactly who Luis Guzman is.
I could do that, or I could pull a Brendan and try to get us back onto this hypothetical highway.
Anyway.
It has an 11%.
We're never going to drop the hypothetical highway, are we?
I think it's really funny.
Who are not familiar with what we're referencing, go check out the North American Union episode. That's where you'll find out.
Anyway.
Or any of them since then.
Or any of them
or
since
any of them
it has
since
a
then.
Worse rating than Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
That thing was a piece.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wait, hold on. Was Suicide Squad bad? Because I like that.
I haven't seen
it yet.
That's
a good joke, Andrew.
Are you serious?
I was not joking. Yeah, I liked it.
I'm actually done with this podcast now.
You can call me a basic bitch. I don't care. Right, I thought it was bitch. Good. It was it was entertaining.
All right.
It was entertaining.
Bye, Joe.
Tell me why it was bad, though, for real.
We can debate this later. We need to talk about 9/11. That's far
really
more important
comic
than Suicide
book
Squad.
Nerd, that's all you need to know.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I got distracted by the girl with the breasts and the butt.
Harley Quinn.
And yes, I remember her name.
I can't remember that actress's
Margot
name,
Robbie.
But she is great. What was her name again?
Let's get on 9/11.
She is so good.
Joe,
I'm sorry,
dude. I was just saying, like, as someone who didn't know any of the comic history behind it, I found it. What's the word? Blissfully ignorant.
That'll work.
How about that?
That's two words.
Shut up.
Someone who cares about those characters hurt. Every minute of it. Go, Brendan, go.
Anyways, as someone
who cares about the podcast, let's get the ball rolling here.
No one cares about the podcast, Brendan. Come on.
Everyone does.
So, today we're going to be talking about, this is part four of the four-part series. I already said that.
Yep.
But
I think they figured that out by pressing play on the episode.
Anyway.
If you're here, go back to the first three episodes before you start listening to this.
Yep.
Seriously, what are you doing?
But what if they're listening to
selfish.
Those first three?
It's very selfish.
Then proceed. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about, say, for instance, there is a conspiracy. Say, for instance, something did happen and it was an inside job. Today we're going to talk about why. We're going to be talking about, that really sums it up. Why would America do this?
That's usually the...
Blow our minds, Brendan.
That's usually the question in conspiracies, right? Like, a lot of them are like, okay, like the fake moon landing.
Sure.
Why?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So have any of you ever listened to Hardcore History by Dan Carlin?
No.
I have not.
No,
okay. It's easily, and I know this is incredibly degrading to our art right here, but it's easily the best podcast that will ever be in my book. He always says... part of like studying history is there's the Latin phrase qui bono, like who benefits from it. So yeah, like when you guys are talking about the why, it just reminded me about how he's like, if you're stuck on like an event and you can't really figure out an angle to try to research more, it's like, look at who benefits from any given situation. And that will like teach you a hell of a lot that you didn't know. Like there's always a benefiter.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Am I making sense?
Yeah,
definitely.
Good. That doesn't happen often.
So let's talk about 43rd Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney.
Salt of the Earth.
Sorry, 46.
Yeah. So Dick Cheney, as I pull up my notes and stall right here. Okay, here we go. And let me get to the front of him. Okay. Dick Cheney, the big dick. All right. Still not in the right spot of the notes. Okay.
Brendan, did you originally say number 43 and then say 46?
Yes, I did.
He was the 46th
vice president.
46th vice president to vice president 43. Okay. So I'm assuming somewhere in the middle of all those presidencies.
No. He was
VP's chain.
Yeah. He was just number 46. He was not 43. I misquoted.
Okay. So somewhere in the middle of the presidencies, a couple presidents didn't have the same VP.
No.
Of course.
Extended set.
No.
Sometimes they'll change their running mates around and stuff.
Okay.
Like, so Cheney was VP from 01 to 09. He was born in Nebraska, which is boring. Then he moved to Casper, Wyoming, which is just as boring. Now, he attended Yale and then the University of Wyoming. He got a BA and a master's in political science. He began his career pretty much going into politics right away, interning for a congressman. And he worked his way into the White House during the Nixon and Ford administrations, which should serve as a big red flag for any of those listening, because those were,
oh,
you know, the whole Watergate
yep.
thing.
Yeah, that just hit me.
And question. The pardon, yes.
Why did he... Well, you can finish whatever else you were going to say.
I'm no, keep just, going.
I want to come back. Okay. Why did he switch from Yale, like an Ivy League school, to what? The University of Wyoming is what you said?
He probably... Like, he... Yeah. I don't
like,
know.
Like, that's weird.
That yeah, because I was reading that and I was like, is that backwards? That has to be, but you don't, that's a big downgrade. It says the latter of which he earned his bachelor's and master's in political science. So that would be the University of Wyoming. I mean, that was a long time ago too. Maybe they had a better political science program. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe.
So he was in the White House during the Nixon and the Ford administrations. Nixon is one of my all-time least favorite presidents, period.
I wonder why.
Because Watergate?
Well, I mean, like, people will still defend him if they're, like, conservative-leaning. And I think that's a crock of horseshit that you would do that just for the party that you support. Because the dude straight up lied and cheated to the people in the country. And then Ford pardoned him, which is a whole, like, there's a 400 level class at Clemson about Ford specifically, and that pardon, like, it's intense. Mm-hmm. He actually made it, so this is Dick Cheney, he actually made it up to the chief of staff from 75 to 77. That's a pretty big deal. The current chief of staff is wasn't Steve Banner, right?
I want to say yes.
That sounds right.
Banner or Bannum or something?
Yeah. Why am I blanking?
Is he? Steve Bannon.
Bannon. Thank you. Bannon. I think he was the chief of staff.
The dude who looks like the...
The penguin from Batman?
Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a good look.
Do it.
So after he was chief of staff, he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, which is a Congress. He was Wyoming's at-large. He represented Wyoming's at-large congressional district for 10 years, actually. He was reelected 5 times, which I have a problem with, and there should be term limits, but that's a personal insert right there.
I agree with you on that.
Cool.
Just want to throw that out there. Mm-hmm.
Then he was selected to be the Secretary of Defense during the presidency of George H.W., and that is how you're supposed to pronounce it, Bush.
George H.W. Bush.
W.
I actually lived pretty close to the neighborhood of George W. Bush when I lived in Texas.
In Midland?
I lived in Carrollton, Texas.
He's talking about senior. It wasn't...
Hmm?
Do they live in different... I thought they lived pretty close to each other. But George W. Bush, like, Jr., I think I live pretty close to where he was in Texas.
Yeah, my stepmom actually was around there, too.
Yeah, I might have driven past his house every now and then. I don't know. I also lived pretty close to George W. Bush Turnpike as well, so.
So you could be confusing him, maybe.
Well, maybe. But I remember that there were some fairly, like, either well-known or famous people living in very close proximity to where I lived, like Mark Cuban.
Mark, yeah, he's well known. He's got a lot of money that I'd steal for in a heartbeat if I could. So Cheney was Secretary of Defense, which is really just a polite way of saying Secretary of War, because that's what that cabinet position was when it was created. Like, George Washington had a Secretary of War, and their job was to basically, like, wage war. So anytime you see Secretary of Defense, he was a Secretary of Defense for 10 years. That kind of should raise some bells along with the whole Nixon thing.
Yep.
How do you hold a position like that for 10 years?
That's an appointed cabinet position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. So when he was in the DOD, the Department of Defense, which is the Secretary of Defense's department, he oversaw the 1991 war known as Operation Desert Storm, which is a big one, because that's like the most oily war I think we've ever had.
Oleaginous.
And that was... Pardon?
Oleaginous.
That was the most oleaginous war.
Oleaginous. It means oily.
Lubed up.
That was the most lubed up war we've ever had.
That was the biggest KY his and hers war we've ever had.
90s was a hell of a time.
I sure hope my mother is not listening. Let's see. So he pretty much was like the head of Operation Desert Storm, which really truly was. There was some good that came from it, so I have a hard time saying we like nothing positive, but like, you know, people were getting murdered a lot. That's never good. But we were there with more than one purpose in mind, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clinton kicked him out of his administration. And then he became the chairman and CEO of Halliburton.
And what is Halliburton?
Halliburton, they pop up throughout history, and they are never really referred to positively. They are a gigantic corporation in it's the world's largest oil field service. So if he was overseeing Operation Desert Storm and then left and went to Halliburton, it doesn't necessarily imply guilt, but it certainly doesn't look good if you're trying to not look guilty.
Okay.
So basically, guys, I have to stall while I find where I was in my notes. Here we are. Okay. He left Halliburton to be the running mate for George W. Bush. And that was in the 2000 presidential election where they defeated Al Gore and Joe Lieberman. So during his tenure as vice president, he played a kind of behind the scenes role in the Bush administration with the response to the September 11th attacks and the coordination of the global war on terrorism. So he was kind of like the behind the scenes leader, like leading from the shadows type of thing. He was the biggest and earliest proponent of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And he was a staunch defender of the administration's anti-terrorism record. He actually was to the point of arguing with Bush about a lot of different policies. I think my dog's barking. Like same-sex marriage. He opposed Bush's views on that, and I can't remember exactly what their argument was about. But he was actually criticized for the Bush administration's policies regarding the campaign against terror. Sorry, my dog is just so timely right now. He was like super for the wiretapping by the NSA and the enhanced interrogation techniques that were used that should read as torture.
Yep.
I'm so pissed at my dog right now. This is two episodes out of four. Come on, guy.
It's okay. He sounds like he really wants your attention.
He's barking at something out of a window. I guarantee it.
No, he's just super excited about Dick Cheney.
Yeah. He's the only person super excited about Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I was going to say, I typically lean on, like, I say I self-label as, like, conservative libertarian, but if that dog likes Dick Cheney, he's getting put down tonight.
I'm just saying,
the dude shot his friend in the face, and he still has not apologized.
I read that
online. He has, to this day, never apologized to the guy he shot in the face.
And didn't you say, I believe somebody on a previous episode mentioned that he didn't, like, not only did he not apologize, he expected an apology from the guy he shot.
He got an
apology.
Well, yeah, because he ruined the lead pellets that were in his round with his face.
Yeah, Sakeef, he got an apology. He received that. Look, Dick Cheney's like absolutely...
He's quite literally a dick.
He's more than that, Sakeef. He is kind of an evil man. Bush blames Dick Cheney for how Bush never got anything done during his presidency.
Yeah.
They hate each other to this day.
Yeah.
How did they end up becoming running mates?
That's what politics. I don't understand. Politics. LBJ and JFK were not very friendly to each other at all.
Was JFK LBJ's vice president?
No, was JFK a vice president?
I did not know if JFK was
he
a
was
vice
not.
President.
LBJ,
sorry, I was just being,
LBJ
was,
like
the most
was JFK's vice president.
Thing I could have said. JFK used LBJ as his running mate for the state of Texas.
Oh.
and because there's a lot of conspiracy between Hoover having some dirt on them, and he wanted LBJ to be the running mate. But
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of shit there. I heard that H.W. Bush said that Dick Cheney would be a good choice based on various reasons. I don't know what those reasons are, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, it's incredibly strategic. Every single time you pick your running mate, like Pence was Trump's running mate to basically like level him out with the conservative party. Like Pence is a very like kind of just run of the mill conservative. That's like a quote unquote normal conservative, nothing too wild either way. And Trump obviously is a fucking roller coaster.
He's a wild card.
But, anyways, back to Cheney, who's a peach. This kind of pissed me off. He wrote two memoirs. The first one is just like about himself. The other one is titled Exceptional: Why the World Needs a Powerful America. He co-authored it with his daughter, and it's been cited.
Well, that's nice.
He has been cited as the most powerful vice president in American history. At the same time, he has been among the least favored politicians of all politicians in the history of the United States.
Yep.
His approval rating when leaving office was 13%.
Wow.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible. And, like, I think Trump has only hit, like, what,
30%? 35-ish, I think.
Oh, yeah. Trump 35? Is, like, a golden boy compared to Cheney's approval ratings. And presidential ratings usually are going to be low-ish. Like, you would imagine the person you elect is going to be, like, upper 80s. It's like they rarely are going to break 60, you know? But, yeah, Cheney was straight up the most hated politician in history of America. So, you know,
yep.
He strived for gold and he got it there.
I mean, like,
I found that very fascinating because he started with a 63% approval rating in April of 2001. And he ended with a 63% disapproval March of 2009. But like overall, he had a 13% right before he left office.
I mean, like.
As
you said, he is known to be a puppet master. He basically pulls the strings, and he did a lot of stuff, a lot of shit. And yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure we're going to get into it a little bit more, but I believe that he is like one of the, I'm not going to say causes, but like, he's a reason why 9/11 happened, in my opinion.
Yeah. So there's a famous quote. I think it was Napoleon or Caesar who said it. Never let a good tragedy go to waste. I don't know if Cheney had planned 9/11, but I would certainly not put it very far out of the realm of possibility at all. If he kind of saw what was about to happen and said, you know what, maybe I'll let this happen.
Let's consider what you just said, that quote.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let a good tragedy go to waste. I believe, as history shows, in a lot of countries, like especially during the World War I and World War II era, didn't a lot of other countries like especially the communist countries like use tragedies to take power?
Yeah, I mean it's basically the basis of propaganda. Like if you're applying that to 9/11, you're using that to pass stuff like the Patriot Act, which we'll get into a little bit more, but like you're basically saying like, look at what just happened. This is horrible. We need to make sure this doesn't happen again. So, give up some of your civil liberties to us, which is just never a good idea ever in the history of humanity. That has never worked out for the little guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
We are considered the little guys, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're talking about the big dick. So,
I mean,
here's a fun fact.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, continue, please.
I was just going to say, here's another quote, explicitly pertaining to 9/11. all of them should have been denied entry into the United States. They didn't have to beat the system. The system was rigged in their favor from the get-go. Joel Mowbray, the National Review. I feel like that explains, I mean, it's a quote, you know, you can say whatever you want, but like, I feel like that sort of sums up exactly sort of like what happened with 9/11. And I mean, like, as I said, in my opinion, like, I think that it was sort of staged of sorts.
I don't know if this policy ended before 9/11 or not. But I do remember hearing about how there was a way for people to get into the country, you know, using somebody else's passport to kind of get people to, like, you know, to help people migrate here. Not in like a, and I'm not saying this in like a, like, obviously there could have been people who took advantage of it, but like, this was like something that was used to help people who wanted to move to the United States move here. Like,
you used to be able to, something that, sorry, keep going.
You can go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
Listen, you used to be able to just cross the border in Canada with a driver's license.
Until 9/11. I feel like it's a little different. Well, oh, okay. And now is it like you need a passport? You straight up just need a passport?
Yeah, you're not getting back in with that one. Yeah, it's just like...
Yeah, tragedy happens. So, I mean, like, rules, you know, like, guidelines are going to get stricter. But, I mean, like, I do know that there was, like, a time where... You know, they had like a policy where like they would use other people's passports for like for people who like looked alike to help them get into the United States. Like, that's something that happened in my family. Like, you know, like, I have a personal connection with that. Like, it didn't happen for me because I was born here in the United States, but like, someone in my family, for them to get into the United States, that's what happened. Like, they got help by this method, you know? So, I mean, like, I do want to say, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, yeah, like, some bad shit happened, but, like, not, like, you know, we should keep in mind, like, it was a rare circumstance and that, you know, what happened. And for some people, it ultimately did more good than, and for others, it ended up having, you know, in this specific case of 9/11, whatever the process was, for how these individuals got here, it, you know, it didn't do what it needed to do. It got bad people in here. A terrible thing happened. But I guess I'm just trying to say, like, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say. I guess I'm just trying to say that, like, it doesn't mean like everybody who's trying to get in here is a terrible person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that's not what I meant at all.
I'm not saying that's what you meant. I guess I was just trying to make that point as a general point. Like, you know, like, we have there's a system in place, and there are going to be people who try to take advantage of it, but then there are going to be those who are just trying to get by, you know, they're just trying to move on to something better.
Yeah. And people get, throughout history, people get the short end of the stick because of, it's like the deeds of a few are used to measure the, you know, everyone. But what I was referring to more was the aftermath of 9/11.
Oh, yeah. The aftermath is like really important.
So, Dick Cheney.
Then you can disregard what I just said.
No, like, you just, like, you went on, man. Like, you didn't say anything wrong. It's just like you were podcasting. You were saying what was on your mind. It was beautiful and free.
So, Keith, you've done it.
And I felt
you've done it. You've made it.
I felt
you can podcast.
I got
now.
Tingles between my legs when you were talking.
It only took like 40 episodes, but now you can do it, Keith.
Oh shit!
You can podcast.
Well, so. Back to getting this car off the shoulder and back onto this
hypothetical
highway. Dick Cheney, this is, since you guys are a comedy podcast, he has been referred to as Darth Vader. that's one of his biggest comparisons.
I think Emperor Palpatine works better.
He's more like Palpatine.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? For as crappy as this dude is... he was able to like actually like kind of adopt that and be like, oh, you know, I'm Darth Vader or whatever, I'm gonna kill you. I don't know what he did, but that's what I would have done.
And
maybe
he shoots you in the face.
That's what Christian Bale is gonna do in the movie.
Like, I'll give credit where it's due. It's like, that is the only thing you can do in that scenario when people are in mass comparing you to Darth Vader. It's like,
just embrace it.
You start your press conference, you get up to the mic and you're just like, you know, that's how I'd start every press conference. Anyways,
did he actually do that?
No, I'm sure he didn't. God, if the vice president of the country did that, I would just go ballistic. But
I would lose my shit and probably have a good laugh.
Oh, but it would be so
funny after
the fact. And then be like,
all right, you're reaching out to the people.
So funny after the fact.
Yeah.
I think politicians can... I think that there can definitely be a middle ground for politicians, like, you know, maintaining a professional demeanor, but also having fun, you know, being more relatable to us in general. I think Obama, like, was definitely very professional, but he also like tried to be relatable too, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, he's the only example I can think of, because like,
you haven't been alive for very many presidents.
JFK was really well known for being like, quote unquote, one of the little guys, which is hilarious because of his family.
That's so funny.
But he was running into crowds to shake people's hands. He wanted to be like up close, personal, relatable. He was like one of the first ones to like really do well with that. Dick Cheney did not do a good job with that actually at all.
Yeah.
He was like kind of like the standard of what not to do.
He's the reason why a lot of people hate politicians.
Yeah, truly. Like, I mean, if you mention Dick Cheney to anyone who followed news in that era, it's almost unanimously going to be a negative connotation that comes along with it from any side of the political aisle. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of feel bad for George Bush, to be honest with you. I think he had the framework of a decent president, and Dick Cheney torpedoed his presidency. I mean, completely torpedoed it.
You know, a lot of like, I think a lot of stuff has come up like with the current presidency. Like, you know, I remember hearing a lot of stuff like, oh my God, I would totally love it if Bush was back. If we could, like, I would take Bush over Trump any day is what I've heard. But like, then there was like a lot of stuff where people were like, do you remember what Bush did? But like I said, I was still pretty young. I know like me, Joe and Brendan were still like, you know, we're younger than you and Curtis, so we probably don't remember this as much, but I just remember, I guess we were too young to remember anything like, or how Dick Cheney might have related as much to Bush and his policies. So,
well, it's,
know,
like I said,
as
earlier,
I got older,
he was...
I thought Bush was the bad guy, but you know, now you're saying like Cheney, we're talking about Cheney like being the one pulling the scenes. I didn't know any of this information about him, and now it's like, holy crap, I'm...
Yeah, I mean,
to, like,
every
really
president
about
is
this.
Every president is going to make bad choices during a presidency. That's across the board. There's no quote unquote good president, because what you're trying to do is like literally the hardest job. I mean, look at him age between terms. Like, look at Obama. He looks like he looks like a young kid, and then when he's leaving office, he looks like the caption of a photo. Be like, shit, I am tired. You know, like, oh my God. George H.W. Bush wrote a book, and it was published in November of 15. He was highly critical of Dick Cheney, and he even described him as, quote, having his own empire and a very hard line kind of a guy. And George H.W. at that time, like, he's like 300 years old now, so he was old back then. But he was like extremely critical of Cheney. The Bush administration, this is relating to the 9/11 commission. And I know Brendan went over it of like how long they waited to start the commission versus the investigations for Pearl Harbor, JFK, space shuttle disasters, all within a week. There's a lot of theories that tie Cheney into this, saying he was the one who planned and directed the event. And that's the reason it like took so long. There's three big points that people will point to. According to conspiracy theorists, which Are you guys gonna put yourselves in that category or not?
Do you want me to go get my tinfoil hat?
I already have mine on.
Because like I can go get it. It's just right over there.
You should be wearing it sure. all times.
You're right.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Put it on, Brendan.
So
he's actually producing a tinfoil hat.
Wow.
A real
Oh my goodness,
hat
that's happening right
that
now.
I have not seen
it's a good thing
before.
That we're recording Holy this crap. Via video.
I plan to put this on later when I talk to you guys about sort of the way that I see the events and how they work. But I mean, you talked about conspiracy theories and tinfoil hats, dude. I'm gonna put it on.
Yeah, you better keep that hat on.
Can I see it? You're just oh my god, that's amazing.
To be fair, it's just a ball cap that just has wrapped around.
Dude, don't give it away. What are
you
doing?
But you know,
it's a DIY
you gotta look
project.
Good. You gotta look good if you're gonna wear a tinfoil hat. No one wants to do the
hey man, you
quick
rock
stuff.
That thing.
You gotta look good.
You rock that thing. I bet it's super breathable.
It is.
So the three big points for Dick Cheney being a huge dick. I put a lot of weight in the first one is basically that he was running a completely separate chain of command and control through the Secret Service, assuring the paralysis of the Air Force response on 9/11. Like I've said before here, I'm not sure how much I buy into the whole conspiracy of 9/11, but I wouldn't doubt a single bit about the separate chain of command within the government, because that has happened several times. That's my personal opinion of how JFK was killed, is basically he was trying to stop that separate chain of command and they were like, no, you're dead. And they killed him. The Secret Service has the same radar screens as the FAA sees in real time. And they have the legal authority and technological capability to take supreme command in cases of national emergency, which is basically to protect the president. And I think a lot of people forget Dick Cheney was the acting commander in chief on 9/11.
He was the one in the White yeah. House, whereas Bush was in a school in Texas.
In the air. Yeah. So for a brief moment, like, I don't know if that's ever happened before in our country,
in, like,
actually.
Like a big tragedy. He's the commander.
Yeah, like on that level, on that kind of level, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. Like, that's actually kind of a big deal.
That's probably one of the reasons why he was the most powerful vice president. That, among other reasons.
Yeah. So we talked about Halliburton earlier, and that kind of ties into all this and explaining Cheney's motive. It's argued that at some point between 2000 and 2007, the world oil production reached its peak. And from that point on, every barrel of oil is going to be harder to find and more expensive to acquire. And Cheney, as the CEO of Halliburton, the world's biggest oil company, would have been well aware of it. So he's going to find a way, because I'm sure he still had a ton of money tied into the company, to make sure that that oil is coming in the way he wants it to. That would be by creating a war there. This is a really interesting thing about him. He's a member of the Project for a New American Century. It's an organization of political ideologues, and they wrote out detailed plans that included invading Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Middle East. And of course, they wrote them before we actually did it. This is all publicly searchable that he's a member of this too. But their goal is to ensure America is the only superpower in the world. Members include Donald Rumsfeld and more than 10 other people from the Bush Foreign Defense. Who Cheney? You guys just seem super pumped about this. Did you give me the boring info to research?
No. I all this is totally.
I am
totally
like,
important. I'm listening.
Yeah, no, this is great. I am like
yeah,
mind blown.
This
I
is
am
crazy.
I am far more focused now because I don't have the government's rays coming into my head. So I am far more focused.
So they included Donald Rumsfeld, and that kind of upsets me. I like Donald Rumsfeld, but I don't anymore.
Yeah, he's being played by Steve Carell.
I feel like
in the
he
movie.
Was kind of a innocent, like a casualty of the Cheney rampage, but it seems like I was wrong, which sucks. So in their documentation, this group Project for a New American Century, they openly state that the public and Congress would not accept their agenda. That the transition would be a slow one, quote, absent a catalyzing and catastrophic event like a new Pearl Harbor.
That's
basically
convenient.
Saying like
that's
yeah. So they're trying to start these wars essentially without saying they're starting a war, and Congress and the public was slow to see their way because, you know, it's war, and that sucks. So they were like, well, it's going to be slow unless, and they did some stuff about it. So that kind of leaves it. I don't study that war very much, and I intentionally kind of left the Dick Cheney info that I have there to see if you guys had any questions or if we just ran into a discussion there, because from there I was going to take it into more of the Patriot Act type of stuff.
No, I mean,
because that's where,
like, I think that Dick Cheney had something to do with 9/11. Now, I don't know how much he had to do with 9/11. I mean, because like let's talk about I have a quote here. This is from the 9/11 Commission. Norman Mineta, he was the transportation secretary, and he on the morning of 9/11, after all this shit happened, at least the first tower got hit, he had to go to the White House, and so he had to go into the White House bunker with all of the other people there, and Dick Cheney being one of them. And let me just read you word for word what he says as he's testifying. During the time that the plane coming into the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the president, do the orders still stand? The vice president turned, whipped his neck around, and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Didn't they change that testimony in the commission report?
They might have. I just listened to the actual interview. I didn't check the actual commission report.
They changed it.
It's long. Okay, what did they?
I couldn't tell you I ran across this in my own research of, like, basically, so you said that guy's name and I was like, I think I know what he's about to say. Essentially they did not change or strike out quotes, but they just didn't include parts of it that were, they basically used it without context to manipulate something. Mm-hmm. To look a certain way, I guess.
I linked the whole interview on our website, so you guys can check out the full interview there. Originally aired on C-SPAN during that time.
C-SPAN.
But anyway, so basically from that quote, you sort of come to the conclusion, or at least it seems as if he was talking about, like, they knew that the plane was coming and then just did nothing about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, why?
Like you could have saved a ton of people's lives. I mean, to be fair, that specific plane only killed like 100-something people, but that's still 100-something people still alive.
And he had no way of knowing that ahead of
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah, anyways. It's true. He had no way of knowing. So, like, based on the testimony there, and, you know, I don't believe that he lied or anything during that testimony. But that's totally something that people do. Like, I believe that he genuinely heard that, and there's this kid coming around saying, hey, the plane is this far out. Does the order still stand? Basically, does the order still stand and not do anything about it? And I mean, that's what I'm getting at here. That's what it seems like to me.
How young of a kid? Was he like five?
No,
he's probably like
20. He refers to the guy as a 20. Young man.
Young man.
Yeah.
I sometimes
20, 22, like older than 18, but not old enough to rent a car.
That's probably okay.
Yeah. That's the age range there.
I'm trying to find really quickly. I thought you guys would just freaking love this. And of course I didn't really organize this at all. So
I'm really excited.
Well, I don't know why I really said that out loud. Like, That had no real purpose to
really
it.
Really excited.
As far as this episode is concerned.
I am so pumped.
That's okay.
I'm ready.
You've got us, you've got our attention. We are ready to hear what you have
to
say.
Me.
We've been ready to hear what you have to say.
Oh, I remember. All right.
Yes.
Here is something crazy that really does not make sense. Who knows how long pictures of Dick Cheney took to be published publicly versus George W. Bush on 9/11. So pictures of George W. Bush were pretty much available immediately.
Mm-hmm. 20 days for Cheney.
I mean, I assume that Cheney was just in a cave the entire time.
2 months.
2 months.
I don't know.
13 years.
What?
What?
And do you want to know how they... Would you like to know how or why they were published?
I would.
They were not published until someone filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit for them. Because those are public documents.
I want to point out that that is actually one of the reasons why the commission started. There are a bunch of widows and everything who were like, this event happened. Nobody's really investigating. Nobody's trying to like bring these guys to justice or whatever. So they like filed some Freedom of Information Acts and they filed like an actual lawsuit against the government for this. And then they finally were like, yeah, we'll do the research.
We'll do the thing.
We'll figure this out. So yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
That took so long.
13 years.
That's insane.
Of the guy who is the acting commander in chief. 13 years later, they released some photos of it only because they had to by
him,
law,
like sitting in the Oval
so
Office.
So we've only had photos of him for 3 years now.
What was that?
We've only had photos of him.
We've only had photos of him for three years.
Yeah, exactly.
So the pictures of him are just like him sitting in the Oval Office giving orders?
He's probably in the bunker.
Or wherever.
He's in a Darth Vader costume.
Oh.
That's why they didn't release the images. They're like...
It's like one of those Darth Vader costumes, though, that you get at like Adam and Eve.
Oh, so there's like the breasts are cut out and you can see his nipples.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Luke is like messing with him with a lightsaber.
Yeah, messing with him.
Yeah.
Luke was the kid who kept
that same outfit.
Luke was the kid who kept coming in saying it's 50 miles out, it's 30 miles out.
And then he'd mess with him. Oh,
I thought Luke was going to be Bush, but maybe Bush isn't Luke in this
Bush,
case.
Bush was not there.
So Curtis, I don't think
Bush made it back to like the White House around like after all the events had happened.
Right, and I believe you mentioned that, I believe you said on part two that Bush flew, what, like 5 times that
you like flew to a bunch of different places. Like
the Secret Service wants him in that plane.
Yeah. It's
rather than the White House or anywhere else because it's the safest place for him.
Especially
to be.
If it's perceived as a target of a plane crash would be the White House.
Yep.
You don't want him to be
be
at the White House.
So yeah, this is like a Secret Service's dream. They're like, all right, because no president is ever like, I'm going to get in the plane and get the hell out of here. They're going to like try to do their job. Secret Service just has to like do their best. Like, boy, I hope they don't nuke us because we have nothing to do about that.
So, I don't remember if we talked about this, but how armored is the plane? Like
No one knows that.
No one
it's
knows.
Confidential.
Oh, that's right. We don't have any specs on the plane.
Yeah, because why would we? That would suck if we did, because then everyone would know. But apparently it's like out of this world impressive.
I mean,
I'll let you know once I become a pilot and the best pilot in the Air Force and then become the pilot of the Air Force One.
I'm assuming that if we had the blueprints, this would turn into literally A New Hope with the whole Death Star thing. And like, there's the weak spot. And then we send our fighters there and shoot it down the hole and, you know, blow it up.
Yeah, man.
There is.
We're going off the Star Wars.
We're doing Star Wars.
Here.
We're doing Star Wars.
Hey, I mean, I do Star Wars every day when I wake up. It's a lifestyle. It's not a choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like the Secret Service had their dream job when Bush was in Florida. That happened, and he had to get back on Air Force One anyways. I would have looked at him and be like, bitch, you never getting off this plane. Like, you have to get on it. Like, this is awesome for us. We can just lay back and relax. But I probably wouldn't call the sitting president a bitch either. So,
I would.
The part of all this that kind of gets me is the like the political side of 9/11 and how like the Patriot Act. You guys know the Patriot Act?
Yep.
Yep.
Familiar with it?
Can you, somewhat.
Can you tell me what the Patriot Act stands for?
Part of the Patriot Act?
Did you ask what it stands for? Because that was my next question.
I know it's like some really ridiculous.
Most unbelievable. I was going to say I'd give any one of you my entire 401k if you got it correct. But it's like you don't even try.
It's a really long acronym that has like other words thrown in that aren't part of the acronym.
That's what I was about to ask. Yeah, it, Patriot is an acronym.
Is. Patriot.
I didn't know that.
And the first part of the acronym is United. So
what?
Yeah, well, it's not a good bill, and you can tell right from the get-go with that.
Right. Well, so the only thing I remember of the bill is something to do with being able to monitor. Like, I think it included something about monitoring people's telephones. Right.
Yeah. Regular citizens. All right. So who knows what bill was passed quite a bit before this one that prohibited that from happening?
The Fourth Amendment.
Oh my gosh, that was incredible. Your history knowledge is sexy.
I am sexy.
I knew that one too.
You didn't go to art college for nothing.
Ah.
Yeah, and that's what I did too. I went to art college to learn about
history.
History. So yeah, the Patriot Act was what Dick Cheney basically is, excuse me, is kind of accused of creating this environment where we give up our rights out of fear. A classic example is after Pearl Harbor, what did we do to Japanese Americans?
Internment camps.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, you know, violated the Constitution willingly to react to fear. So did we figure out if anyone knows what it actually stands for without Googling it? So no,
No, but I heard it starts
you
with
me
a,
I was reaching for my phone.
I heard it starts with a U to start.
United and strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism act of 2001.
You can keep your 401k for now.
That is probably bigger than my 401k. That is a lengthy title. So Bush gets a lot of flack for this. I really kind of blame. There's some weird stuff going on in this post 9/11 like fear era. Bush signed it into law. Provisions of the bill were set to sunset 5 years after it was ratified, which basically means like there's portions of it that only last X amount of time. So if Bush signed it into law, you'd think that who followed him, Obama, would be totally against it just by, you know, political swings and trends. On May 26, 2011, Barack Obama signed the Patriot Sunset Extension Act of 2011 for an additional 4 years extension of the parts that were like straight up unconstitutional, which is roving wiretaps, searching business records, and surveillance of lone wolves, which is basically being able to surveil people without any probable cause as a lone wolf acting on their own as a terrorist. But there's no definition of terrorist, so a terrorist can be any enemy of the state. So we got a brief reprieve when the bill expired on June 1st, and it took only 24 hours for our government to prove once again that they are the biggest piece of shit in the entire world, because on June 2nd, they passed the USA Freedom Act, which restored the expired parts of the Patriot Act through 2019. A section of the bill, Section 215, was amended to keep the NSA from continuing its mass phone surveillance, which is what Snowden blew the whistle on. It's just a bill that basically is saying, like, we would really love it if you guys would look the other way while we take some liberties with the Constitution in order to say that we're protecting you. But they use it for a lot of different stuff. Like, my big thing has always been the no fly list. Mm-hmm. That is not okay, period. It violates like two or three different amendments. People get put on that list. They don't get notified that they're on the list. They don't know why they were put on the list in the first place, and they're not given a option to be taken off the list. And at one point, I think Obama floated that list as a way, like, people who are on that list shouldn't be able to buy guns. So it's like just another amendment that would be like from a constitutional scholar, no less. Like, to me, it shows that, like, it does not matter what party the president is a part of. They are all kind of on the same track. And this 9/11, post 9/11 era, you just look at the Patriot Act and look at all the amendments that get legitimately threatened by it. It's kind of scary.
I 100% agree. I mean, like this directly correlates, like this happening is exactly why I think that at least some of this event, the American people, or not American people, the American government knew about. Like my timeline with like what happened, and like this has been like researched and everything, so I'm not like just making stuff up here. It's not like what I would like to happen or think, like actually, like it's been backed up by some stuff. But basically, like the United States knew that an attack was coming. You have the infamous bill, or not bill, but like memo sitting on Bush's desk saying like Al-Qaeda expected to strike inside the United States. Like we knew something was going to happen. And I don't think that like Cheney or Bush or whatever, they like orchestrated it, but I think that we knew about it and we just looked the other way. Like, I firmly believe that we could have stopped this. There's so much saying that we could have stopped this with the CIA, with the FBI. We knew so much about it. We knew that all of these people were in the United States. We knew all of this stuff beforehand. We didn't know the day, but I firmly believe that we knew it was going to happen, and we just said, you know what, people are going to die, but we have to get in this fear because we want to be able to take people's rights away, because we want to, like, I believe that a lot of this is sort of related to oil as well, like a lot of people do. A lot of people think that this is related to oil.
I look at the oil as more of like an opportunistic type of thing, yeah. You know? Like,
yeah. I think basically that, I mean, it's the whole, like, we want America to be a superpower, and we want America to be the only superpower, and the way to do that would be to make it so that the American people would be in constant fear. That way that we can take apart some of our rights and basically mm-hmm. make it so that if anyone inside the U.S., like we're going to know about it. We're going to know about any sort of thing that will potentially stop the United States from being the only superpower. And putting us in this constant state of fear, thus bringing us into many different wars. You know, we were in Afghanistan. We were in Iraq. We were in these things. And I believe that Dick Cheney wanted to put this in the sense of a forever war. So we're always going to have we're always going to have the big bad guy. We're always going to have someone that we're fighting. That way that you know, gets the propaganda going, that makes it so that, you know, we will back our government, even though they're taking away our liberties, and even though, I mean, there's just, it's just like,
that's the thing that gets me, is it's not so much they're taking our liberties away. It's like they're convincing us to give them up willingly.
Yeah.
That I cannot stand that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely taking away too. Let's not try to be nice to them. Mm-hmm. Screw the man.
But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, but like, yeah, I mean, we're just like, we're scared. We don't want to die. So have our liberties. I think 2001 is the September 11th, 2001 is the day where the United States no longer became free.
There's a strong argument for that.
We've given away our rights in order to feel safe. We've given that away. And you know, we could still, you know, go to work or, you know, buy whatever we want or whatever. But like,
it's not something that happens overnight.
Exactly. Like, and I don't think, and I'm not, you know, I'm not like trying to raise a coup here, but I don't think,
up in arms.
I don't think that we will.
I already got my pitchfork.
I don't think that we'll be free again until basically all of these laws get repealed and all of these, like basically we just get a new change in government here.
Are you about to say MAGA drained the swamp?
What?
He was insinuating that you are a supporter of Donald J. Trump, the current U.S. president.
Oh, I am.
It was a joke. I know you're not. It was obviously a joke.
I am definitely just, not.
I actually was going to, in a serious note, kind of tack on to the end of that. Like, I think, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong a few times before in my life, a lot of times, most of the time. But I feel like there is a big shift towards a younger interest in politics.
Oh, definitely.
And the baby boomers are finally starting to die, as awful as that sounds. But Jesus Christ, they have done so much damage to this country. And there's more of a youth in politics now where people, you know, our age are, look at what we're doing right now. And
people are getting interested.
They're getting interested, yeah. And they're making their voice heard, regardless of what they're saying. They're taking interest, and when people take an interest, they're not going to let someone strip away something, or they'll be smart enough to say no.
They're giving
a shit,
which is
they are giving big shits.
Yeah, I mean, and that's
IHOP shits.
I mean, that's all that we can hope for.
Yep,
is that.
Yeah.
That the people, I mean, because going back to Trump here, you know, everyone knows that I'm not a big Trump supporter.
We haven't shit on him in the past three episodes.
Trump is Let's very into up. Big business. And I feel like the government being as we are right now also favors big businesses very, very highly. I mean, you know, we ended up going into Iraq, which, by the way, had absolutely no like, out of the hijackers, none of them were from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
No one had really, like, Al-Qaeda hadn't been to Iraq. So there's no reason for us to go there, but we did. And it, you know, highly benefited these big oil companies, which, I mean, if you're going to talk about 9/11.
Yeah, we went looking for WMDs, I think, right?
Supposedly.
They were, quote unquote, found, but they weren't found or something. Weird.
I mean, like, I don't get the connection, and maybe we just went there just cuz, but once again, that sort of goes with the forever war theory there.
There's always got to be someone to fight. Like, the Red Scare was communism, even though it wasn't, we made it an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, out of the hijackers on 9/11, 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia. So, theoretically, if we were going to go invade somewhere, Saudi Arabia would be the one, because there's 15 out of the 19 there. That being said, Saudi Arabia's our friend, so we're not going to invade them, of course.
Well, they control... do you know the percentage of the oil they control off the top of your head?
It's an astronomically large number. I mean, we talked about...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We talked about Saudi Arabia government in episode one and how it sort of rised up and, you know, basically just capitalized the fact that they just happened to settle on a big oil reserve.
Yeah.
Two of the terrorists were from United Arab Emirates, and one was from Egypt, and one was from Lebanon. Now, supposedly the reason, I believe, why we invaded Afghanistan was because the Taliban was there.
Yeah,
the Taliban was there, but Al-Qaeda was also there. The Taliban allowed Al-Qaeda to live there. And so, theoretically, the war on terrorism was hopefully that we're going to go find them. That being said, you know, they're in a cave somewhere. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to search all the caves?
I mean, and nuke the shit out of them?
That would be a perfect time for an Iron Man 1. In a cave.
Yep.
With scraps. I don't know the actual quote, but that would be a perfect time for that.
Oh, I know. That's a great
quote.
It is
a great quote. Mm. Jeff Bridges, man.
It's too...
Gives me the chills. But anyway...
Jeff Bridges does? That's weird.
I love Jeff Bridges.
One of the greatest actors of our time and generation. He was the dude.
The dude. But anyway...
The dude abides.
Like... I mean, like...
I hold on. I'm sorry. I have to make a public confession.
Have you never seen The Big Lebowski?
I have never seen Jesus it, man. I knew the reference. I am coming from a place of love. I'm coming from a place of honesty. Like, I've never seen
I've
it.
I've accepted you. About it's the not that I've tried not to see it. I've accepted
Listen, hold on.
You
no,
about that.
No, this is my confession. I'm just trying to be honest and upfront and say it's not that I've tried not to see it. I just have not had the opportunity to see it. I will straight drive to New Mexico.
You do it. I will show it to you.
Don't. It'll take too long.
I've done it before, dude, but I like your logic. you haven't said anything in 20 minutes. No, dude, that's like, it's way not worth it.
We'll meet halfway.
Okay. Sorry, Brennan. I just had to, get that on the record.
Of course. I mean,
that was important.
That was highly important.
My apologies.
Like 9/11 was a catalyst for all of this shit to happen. And like basically, I mean, I've said everything I need to say about this. I've talked and, you know, given my two senses about it. That's why I'm wearing this aluminum foil hat.
Yeah, you're still wearing that. That's impressive.
And you're going to keep it on now because you truly believe this, right?
I do.
This isn't just like some bullshit act for whatever.
No, I mean, and like, I'm usually one of our biggest skeptics on this show. I like to make fun of conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. I think they're really funny to make to make fun of. I think that a lot of the stuff based on sort of how the towers went down and all that stuff, I think that is probably a lot of coincidences. That being said, you know, there could be credence to them. I don't know. I couldn't really come to a conclusion on that. What I do know, and what I have firmly come to the conclusion, is what I just said earlier with the whole, we let it happen. I believe that that happened. 100%. And I, you know, there are a lot of people who actually agree with me with that. Like, it's
dozens of them.
Dozens.
At least
12.
See, I would not put myself quite as severe on your, or severe is not a good word, quite as like gung-ho on your end of the spectrum, but I definitely wouldn't close the door to a possibility of a convenient mishap allowing us to, you know what I mean? Like I said earlier about the JFK, like I believe the same thing happened. I'm definitely not closed off to the idea that it was a conspiracy type of thing. I just don't know. You know, like, this is one of those things. One of my professors said about the JFK assassination is like, these are the kind of things that do not get written down. Documents are never found proving these things because they cover their tracks, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we may never know.
I don't think we're ever gonna get some concrete evidence on all this stuff. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see that coming from the JFK thing or this. I just don't see us ever obtaining the smoking gun, basically.
I mean, and that's literally the reason why a lot of these conspiracy theories exist.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. There's not a definitive answer. And if there's no definitive answer, people are going to ask questions. And people are going to come up with their ridiculous, you know, whatever, and try and answer the question for themselves.
Try to make sense of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's all about just being able to analyze information and make an informed decision for yourself.
Yep. Well, anyway, that pretty much concludes this episode.
Andrew, it
and the series.
Andrew, it's been
it's
a complete
sad.
Pleasure having you here for this for these 4 weeks.
It's been a good month. I have it's been nice. I have friends now, right?
Yeah.
Man, you can be on whenever you want.
We're just using you for your popularity.
Rude.
Well, joke's on you. You're idiots then. Because I only have 4 friends. I can see them on my computer. If one's wearing a hat of tinfoil.
Yeah, this is
yeah, it's
you might want to reevaluate.
I'm going to just say it's been a pleasure doing this, and I wasn't sure how the 9/11 thing would work because I do normally focus on like farther back stuff than that, but it's been a blast. I'm definitely going to have you guys on my show if you will So oblige me.
You're very welcome to
most
do that.
Most definitely.
Of course.
Yeah, that was some serious vocab right there.
I thought
there.
This was quite the fun month.
Yes.
I have done far too much research on this topic.
You became a believer.
I did. I didn't think I would. I thought this was going to be a bunch of mumbo jumbo and bullshit. Really did.
Now you're a believer.
I'm like the skeptic of believers, though. Because, like, I could believe in all of the, like, the... It was an inside job, and, you know, we did a bunch of other stuff, but I don't believe that. I just believe that we knew it was going
to
happen.
You still have to be on the spectrum. You still have to, like...
Yep. Yep.
It's like sexuality. It's a spectrum.
It's a spectrum. So, fun fact, guys. You know, we earlier talked about Dick Cheney's book titled In My Time. It's a memoir about
him. In My Time,
yes. You can actually find that book on audible.com.
So that's audible.com?
Audible.com, yeah. It's a pretty cool...
I've heard of that place.
Pretty cool website that you can basically just listen to audiobooks. It's awesome. You can listen to them on your computer, on your phone, on your tablet, on your MP3 player.
On your... You already said phone. I was going to say mobile device.
On your mobile device. Yeah, just you can listen to it anywhere. Which is awesome. And, I mean, it does cost money, but, if you sign up today, under our trial link
at MWRcast,
it's audibletrial.com/MWRcast, and you can actually sign up and you get a free audiobook, free trial. Dude, sweet.
Yeah. If you click that link,
or
type it into your browser.
Yeah. If you actually, you know, don't like the book you picked or don't like the book about Dick Cheney, you can actually exchange it for a new book. Yeah, so that's really cool, too.
Neat.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a really cool service. I used it a lot to research this whole four-part series. It's been a long time. It's been a rough couple months here, but it's great, you know. I'm always busy, and I like to just listen to my books. I don't have time to read. So listening to them books
takes longer than reading.
It's true, but I can be doing something else.
Yeah,
that is convenient.
Like browsing the 180,000 titles on audible.com.
Wow, do something else Audible related while listening to Audible.
Yep,
there's so many things you can do.
Anyway, guys,
what was that link one more time?
Yeah, audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Once again, audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Third time, audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Anyway, Andrew, where can they find you?
MondayAmerican.com, iTunes.
No. Where do you live?
I live in your nightmares.
You can find him on his website,
TheMondayAmerican.com, Twitter,
you can also find him
Facebook,
on,
iTunes.
Apple Podcasts.
Oh,
Apple
I just I messed it up. I'm dead. Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah. Anywhere you want to find a podcast, like, you know, you should be able to find a podcast. So don't be an idiot, but go to the website because we worked hard on that.
You can find us at our website, mouldersright.wordpress.com. You can find us on anchor.fm. You can find that on Apple iTunes as well. Just look up Mulder Was Right Anchor, and you can find it there. That's our little other supplementary thing, and we'll be doing more of that. You could find us anywhere where you can find podcasts. Once again, that's Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that jazz. You can also find us on social media at MWRcast. And would you look at that? We're at the end of another episode. And
yeah, I think we established that already.
And what if I told you that this wasn't the end of this four-part series? And what if I told you that somehow 9/11 is related to Aleister Crowley?
You are being so loud.
And what if 9/11 was a huge mega ritual? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting 9/11 part 5, but it's not going to be next week.
What?
How much meth did you just smoke?
What?
This is all going to be related to a book that you can find online called The Most Dangerous Book in the World, 9/11 as Mass Ritual. It was released September 11, 2012. And we're going to be talking about that as soon as I finish reading that book.
Where can they find that book, though?
You have been waiting to surprise everyone with that for a month. You can tell.
I have.
Yeah, wow. Like, I have. You can tell.
You're so excited.
Yeah. Well done, man. Good for you. I was
really excited about that.
Yeah, no, everyone could tell that immediately.
I think this is probably the happiest moment in your whole life.
Pretty close.
Thanks, 9/11.
Really,
it did some good.
Really sad.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Well,
so next week we're not going to be talking about 9/11, but sometime in the future, 9/11 Part 5. Andrew, we'll get you on for that one, too. This one's really bizarre.
That sounds right up your alley.
It's really crazy.
All right, I'm ready for it.
Anyway, guys,
what are we going to talk about next week, though?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Something completely different.
Something probably more lighthearted.
Probably.
Maybe like squirrels or some shit.
Squirrels, yeah.
Or squirrel shit.
Yep. Or squirrel shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I hope those are my last words on this show.
So we'll see you next week on Mulder Was Right.
Wake up, sheeple. What in the hell happened?
Thanks, Andrew.
Yes, I didn't fuck it up this time. All right.